A Problem Shared with Tony and Val on Kerry Today.
Yes, Tony and Val McGinley with me on the line. Good morning to both of you. Thanks for joining us again.
Good morning, Kerry.
Now, can I ask you, first of all, number of queries coming into us. We'll start with this one. My husband, who was in his 30s, died suddenly almost 2 years ago. I'm now a single parent with two young children. I am still in shock. I had quickly to learn how to handle so many things that he used to do. I took them all for granted. Thank God we're financially okay. The problem is the children at birthdays, etc. I'm wondering what I will tell them if they ask about their daddy. It's a very
Listeners, we're still on the phone, and that's why we don't have visual cues. So we have to kind of speak up, you know.
Sure.
First of all, I this is a hard road to follow. Even all the adjustments to, like someone called them, as first world problems, tax, insurance, widow's pension, etc. The hard road. What strikes me is not just the children; it's the partner who's still here. If you need help, get help. Get it, girl. Don't be kind of trying to do it all on your own. And if anyone offers to help, say, thank you very much, I'll accept that. You know, I suggest you might consider Googling to see if there are any groups in your area that deal with bereavement. And like this time has passed, and I think the children have noticed that their dad isn't around. And what I would suggest, now not everybody might agree with it, and you might not agree with it, but I would suggest telling the truth to the children, because I think it's really important to establish and maintain trust with the kids.
Yeah.
If you've told them that their father is working away or something like that, I would now say, I have something to tell you. He won't be coming back. You know, like, and you know, as hard, and I mean, children will grieve, but they grieve in a different way from us as adults. And I personally think the most important thing is to maintain trust. I can remember when my father had cancer, I would find my mother crying. Now, I was about 10 years of age. I'd find my mother crying, and I'd say, what are you crying about, Mom? And she'd say, well, I have something in my eye or something like that. And I knew it wasn't the truth. I didn't know what was going on, so I was imagining all sorts of horrendous things, you know?
Because you didn't know exactly it wasn't explained to you exactly what was happening.
Well, it wasn't. I mean, like, and it was a shock and a relief when it was only my dad died, to be quite honest. I'm laughing.
I'm not joking about it at all,
because it was horrendous. Looking back at it, it was horrendous. The other thing is you tell the children the truth, but necessarily not the whole truth. And what I mean by that, I'm not too sure what I mean by that, but I would tell the truth, but I don't have to kind of go into graphic detail.
Yeah, because they're still young. You can recognise that they're still young and only able to deal with so much in terms of the shock of it.
Yeah, children handle stuff like deaths and tragedies very well indeed. And we don't kind of understand that, but it's a fact. So what I would say to this person is be upfront, but don't be brutal in how you introduce. And if you haven't been talking about this with the kids, introduce it very gradually. You know, don't just take a Tuesday and go bang into it, but over a period of weeks or months, begin to talk with them. And the other thing then just came to my mind really is involving them in the household work is a very important part of helping children to generally sort of, as it were, acclimatize to life. So yeah, give them little jobs and set up tasks for them and so on and so forth, and ask them their opinions.
Yeah, they might balk at the tasks, but that's irrelevant. They have to do the tasks. And I've learned that, like, distraction is a great panacea for a lot of things. So, like, I would suggest to somebody, have your lamp next to the bed, have books, have puzzle books, you know. And I would suggest saying to the kids, like, I miss Johnny, or whatever his name is. I miss him so much. So, like, model to the children that you can talk about them, you can talk about your husband, and that you're hurting too, because it's very important. But the bottom line is, you're the adult, you have to be there for them. And your job is to prepare them for life, not mollycoddle them or protect them, but prepare them.
Yeah, and the question, Val, I suppose, is if you do that original story you said of if you told them your father is away working, the longer that goes on, the more danger you have, if you keep it going and aren't straight, of trust being broken. Is that, would that be?
Yeah, and I'm sure they'll find out from somebody will probably say, poor kids, no dad.
Yeah.
You know? So like, let it come from you. You're the parent. And, like, with that, there's a whole gawal of responsibility and stress and suffering. There's also relief. Your job as parent of these young children is to prepare them for life.
Yeah. Yeah, problems here with Tony Val McGinley with us on the line. We have another query that's come in here, and it goes like this. My problem is I have an addiction to fruit. The kitchen bowl is always full, and I panic if it isn't. My husband tells me to leave it, but I simply can't. I have to have my fix every day. Now, this I'm assuming is an addiction to eating, but also having the bowl full at the same time. What do we think?
Yeah. I mean, I'd say, you know, good on you. That's a great addiction to have. There are people in this world who are called fruitarians. They live on nothing but fruit. Now, they're a bit sort of, as it were, out there, in my opinion. But if you know, there's nothing whatsoever wrong with eating plenty of fruit. Mm. And I can't think of an incident of overeating on fruit, unless it's one particular fruit.
Would there be a problem here, Tony, if it's the question of maybe not so much eating the fruit, but having the fruit bowl full and continually buying fruit and it going off? If that becomes a particular problem.
If it's going off, that's waste, and I'm totally 100% against waste. But if it's being consumed, yeah, great. You know, once it's not too expensive, great.
Okay, Val, what do we think?
If it's an addiction, I really can't help with that. I think you need to get professional help yourself. If it's an addiction to having, like, if oh crikey, the bowl is going down, I need to go out now and get
fill it up. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be a fixation rather than an addiction. You know, some people, when they're stressed, get fixed on something. And it could be that sort of fixation. If it's that, definitely need help. Yeah.
Yeah, it could be.
Otherwise, I would be saying to my husband, look, back off, love. I need the fruit.
Yeah. I know what you're saying. Yeah. Listen, we've a query, another comment that's come into us in the meantime, and raised our original query. I want to put to Tony and Val. A female caller rang. Her husband is dead nearly 18 years, and she cries most days. And she still says when she goes home, I must tell my husband such and such about this or that happened. And then it hurts her all over again that he's not there. People don't realise it until it comes to their own door. That's 18 years
later. I would agree that I won't realise it until it comes to my own door. That breaks my heart, to be quite honest, what you were reading out there, Jerry, from that listener. It breaks my heart. And look, love, excuse me calling you love, get help. You know, get professional counselling. It's worth the investment, I think, to see if you won't be crying at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are stages of grief. And evidently this person isn't moving on, and they may need help. In fact, they do need help to be able to move on to the next stage and the next stage after that. And yeah, I mean, there are people who specialize in grief counseling and will help this person to begin to move out of that place.
Can it be okay though if it's recognized, I guess, that this doesn't take over her life? Yes, she still cries. Yes, she still misses him, but that she's able to move on. That to an extent, it'll always be there, I guess.
Well, 18 years is quite a space of time. And I think, you know, most of us will move on inside of 2 or 3 years. And I think maybe this needs a bit of help.
Yeah. Val?
Yeah, I'd agree with that, yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, listen, look, guys, thanks a million for another great show. Keep your comments and views coming into us on the programme on 066-712-3676. If you have more that you want to say or questions or queries you want Tony and Val to answer, then do come back with us on the programme and get in touch with us for next Wednesday's Tony and Val with a Problem Shared. We will come back to one next week. We have one from listeners saying, my daughter is suffering from depression and anxiety, very bad, in her 40s. She said 4 miscarriages and doesn't know whether to try or not again. Has no interest in anything. How can I help her? She is working and did come back. Did work from home. So worried about her. We will try and get more advice and talk with Tony and Val in more detail about it. And thanks for sharing that. Definitely professional help would be needed there, I would imagine.